Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Tempo, the official podcast of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. As we wrap up election season, we're excited to bring you the final episode in our special series featuring the 2025 candidates for the Alumni Association Board of Directors. In this final episode of our April series, we've had the pleasure of sitting down with the candidates to hear about their vision for the Alumni Association, their experiences as brothers of Kappa Kappa Psi, and how they plan to foster great engagement and connection among alumni. Each candidate shared their insights during 15 to 20 minutes of questions and discussion, so we encourage you to stick around for the full episode. This episode features our last group of candidates rounding out the series. I am your host, Sav, Chair of the Archives and History Subcommittee and host of The Tempo. These interviews give you the opportunity to hear directly from the candidates before you cast your vote in the upcoming election. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to The Tempo so you don't miss a single episode. Elections for the AABOD will take place May 1st, 2025, and to participate, you'll need to renew your membership by April 25th, 2025. And with this episode coming out, you only have just a few days left, so don't wait. Be sure to check your email and visit the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association website for all the official election details. Let's dive in. All right. And let's welcome our next candidate, Laura Borzolari, from the Lambda Delta chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Laura?
Hi, everyone. My name is Laura Borzolari. I'm a life member of the Lambda Delta chapter at Shippensburg University in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. I was initiated in 2009, graduated in 2012. So been an alumni since 2013, close to hitting 15 years, we're about 12 now. And say from then, I've been involved as an alumni on the LAA and the national side, served on some national committees. Lambda Delta did have their Alumni Association for a little bit, which I was involved with. Been involved with the National Alumni Association. So I am always looking for opportunities to serve and give back.
Awesome. And can you take a few minutes to share a little bit about your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
Of course, yes. So the three things I highlighted the most was for my platform was open communication and transparency. You need a life balance when you come to alumni life and, you know, your real life. So I want to focus that and, you know, work on these open conversations that seem to be happening all the time during district conventions and, you know, but I want to highlight that more over the year, not just at district convention. So I want to, you know, have almost like little open chats during the year, almost like quarterly, you know, not taking any spotlight from the quarter note forum, but, you know, just having open discussions, having people being able to have access to the board and, you know, asking them, you know, do you have updates on this? What can we talk about? You know, almost like office hours that you would see on a university campus. But so that way our members are updated year round, kind of like the encore, but having those one-on-one conversations, because I feel those are more meaningful. I want to expand new capacities for service and participation for members. The big thing I struggled with when I was on the board for the Lambda Delta Alumni Association was, you know, we became very stagnant, and that was something that basically led us to, unfortunately, having to fold the Alumni Association. And I would love to establish, you know, kind of on the tail end of the mentorship program that the Alumni Association has, but do it for local alumni associations. So you see them thrive in the beginning, and they're either going to continue to thrive or they're going to fall off in the first 5 years of existence. So almost like the mentorship program for individuals, I want to create something like that for local alumni associations to help out. You see a lot of alumni associations in the Southeast, in the Northeast, but not as many in the West, in the Midwest, so we want to make sure that, these alumni associations are supported throughout the year, just kind of like what we're doing with the Active Brothers and the Road to Wisdom. And when you charter, when you're either rechartering or chartering a new chapter on a campus, being on one of a couple of those teams, it's not just, hey, here, you're a chapter, goodbye, we're not talking to you again. There are still processes that set up to help them through that first year of existence. And I feel that alumni associations also need that, because it's kind of like, hey, we established this, oh, now what do we do? How do we continue to get our alumni involved? How do we continue to fundraise for things when, we're not a student anymore? Most of us are adults or considered adults sometimes. I'm like, am I adult? Really? And, it's different. It's very different on this side of the grass, if you want to put it that way. And I really think that that would help. And it would also be able to give local alumni associations that are thriving opportunities to give back, and opportunities for their members to give back, that not necessarily give back in that way, in the mentorship way, but they can highlight their alumni association as a whole. And finally, I want to have more incentives for our members. I really love the way that the Tau Beta Sigma Alumni Association does their membership system with, tiered system. Like, they're similar. Like, we do have a tiered system as well, but they, I feel that they have more initiatives on that side. And, I feel like that would be a great opportunity for the alumni, KK Psi Alumni Association Board of Directors, to work with our sisters and help that. They have the gold star where you get a gift, you have this. So I think more membership incentives would be helpful, and I think it's going to help our membership, stay involved, remember to, renew their membership, whether they're life or LAA level or, so I think, more incentives for our members. And because we always get that question, what do I get out of my membership? If so, I feel like that, hopefully with that, would be helpful. And it's not, I know that's not going to be an overnight fix. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of collaboration, but I think that would be really good for our alumni association, and to work with our TBSAA executive council to help that, and keep that connection going.
Absolutely. Yeah, some great points there. Are there specific director roles you're interested in serving, or do the offices of chair or vice chair interest you?
Want to jump in. I mean, you want to jump in full force, absolutely, but I would consider the vice chair, but you want to make sure that you are, if elected, it's, sorry, trying to phrase my words. I would consider vice chair, but I feel like for someone that would be, if elected, newly elected, I don't feel that is, something. I feel like you need the training and you need to get your feet wet, but if I am elected, I would love, membership, like, membership director. I feel like being on the Northeast District Alumni Association board for a couple of years, I really had very good, love talking to our members and getting them, engaged. And I'm currently on the NEDA membership committee, so I'm excited to start that with our newly elected officers. I'm pretty much someone that is game for anything. I did serve on the awards committee with when Marina was the chair of that and Brett Cannon was on the board. So I was on that committee where we established the Brett Cannon Music Award, and a couple of the other ones, the Young Alumni Award as well. So that was really cool to be on that and see all of those grow. And look at all of our wonderful applicants. So, love awards. I'm currently on the programs and personal development committee. So that is also something that I love, and I feel that my idea for the LAA mentorship program would fall into that category as well. So I feel like I'm very well versed in a lot of different areas, which I would hope that the general membership would see that reading my platform and reading my resume. So I'm really, wherever they feel that I am best fit to serve, then that is what I would do if I was elected.
Awesome. You talked a little bit about some of your goals, which, if you had to pick one, to make a priority, how would you measure or track the success of that goal?
Out of my platform goals, I want to prioritize open communication and transparency. I feel the best ideas and solutions to problems come when a natural conversation occurs, kind of like what we're doing now with this podcast. With this in mind, if elected, I would propose an office hours type event, either monthly or bi-monthly, preferably around the same time the encore is released, for the members to ask the board questions, the board to update members on programs or initiatives, even donations, things like that, so that these natural conversations can continually happen throughout the biennium and not just at conventions and fraternity events. As measuring success, my plan is to keep track of attendance and request members who attend provide feedback, like a little survey on these sessions, and if they're helpful for them, slash anything they want to see, anything they would like to change from the board after these sessions occur. For members who can attend these sessions live, I would have a form prepared to go out for members to submit questions that the board members can answer either via email or during the session itself. If elected, my hope with this goal is to have a continuous flow of conversation with association members and the board throughout the biennium, so members do not feel distance between them and the board and feel like they can only talk to them during convention season or fraternity events, things like that. We, as the board, if I'm elected, would work year round, so we want members to be able to access us year round.
Absolutely. The next question I've got for you here is, can you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led that was either fraternity related or in your professional career, and how you determined its success?
Fraternally, I feel one of the best initiatives I led was while on the NIDA board and celebrating the NIDA's 35th anniversary. I was a secretary at that point, and it was going to be our first in-person convention since the pandemic. I was tasked to lead a committee with designing and ordering 35th anniversary pins for the NIDA to sell before and during convention. The committee worked effortlessly on selecting a pin design that was submitted by one of our members and now NED TBS counselor, India Harrison. Once the design was selected, then I moved forward with the ordering of the pins, working with my fellow NIDA board to set a price and create a Canva design, along with a virtual order form to use on our social media outlets to advertise the sale of the pins. This initiative, along with the 35th celebration as a whole, was extremely successful. The NIDA was able to sell a quality item that our members wanted to see and able to make a profit that we in turn used to continue to fund our scholarships and grants. I look back at this time with a warmth in my heart, knowing that I was able to see this initiative come from just an idea to a fully successful fundraiser slash celebration for our members. Professionally, I am proud to say that I have been able to bring organizations into our library, such as the Down Syndrome Association of Delaware. They've done story times that are all about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've had two successful story times with them where they raised awareness about Down syndrome and how these individuals may be different from us, but that is okay, and we still treat them with dignity and respect like any other human being. Along with helping the library celebrate and promote the Rock Your Socks initiative for World Down Syndrome Day on March 21st, they also helped us with that. This initiative encourages people to wear colorful, mismatched socks as a fun and memorable way to show and support understanding for individuals with Down syndrome. So, a little fun fact and a little history. People diagnosed with Down syndrome have three copies of chromosome 21 instead of the usual two. March 21st, 321, is chosen to represent this, and socks are used because the chromosome pattern is thought to resemble mismatched socks. Not only did the Down Syndrome Association of Delaware hand out official Rock Your Socks to all patrons that attended the story time, they also provided staff with socks that we could proudly wear on March 21st. Advocating for people with disabilities is something near and dear to my heart, So being able to bring in an organization like the Down Syndrome Association of Delaware to my library to raise awareness is something that I am truly proud of.
Those are some really awesome things that you've done. The next question I have for you is, imagine that you're talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged with the fraternity in any way at this time. How would you, or what would you suggest to them is the best reason to join KKCI AA? And how would you maybe articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? Or how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially as alumni?
Well, first, I would ask them why they're not actively engaged anymore. Get that conversation going. And then I would ask them if they're looking to come back, what they feel they are looking for most from the KKCI AA and continue to progress the conversation from there. If it's fellowship, I would start with telling them that when going through my process of becoming a brother, my big gave me advice that I still use and pass on to this day, which is you can go up to any brother or sister and talk to them like you've known them your entire life. So I still use that to this day, and it's how I generate those general conversations with members. If it's a service or giving back aspect that this person is looking for, then I would tell them about the many committees that the KKCI AA offers that they can join. If it is time they want to give back, because that is also a way to give back if you can't do it monetarily. If it is financially giving back, then I would tell them about the many grants, scholarships, and initiatives that they can donate to and how that helps further the aspect of giving back that the KKCI AA prides themselves on. As I've done before, I think any brother can talk for hours about how the fraternity shaped who they were while active. And I want alumni to know that it can do the same after graduation as well. Personally, for me, I was having a conversation at a district alumni workshop in the NED about career burnout, and a member who was also in the education field at the time suggested that I would be good in the public library field. Fast forward, and I've been working in a public library for a year and a half and looking for ways to advance in this career field. This organization and those open and honest conversations literally changed my career. We all know that, and we've all heard that you are a brother for much longer as an alumni than you are as an active. And we hope that same passion you've had for the organization as an active follows with you as an alumni. But truthfully, burnout is real. Burnout fraternally, burnout professionally, burnout personally. If that is the situation that the alumni I'm talking to is in, I hope they can find their passion again through easing back in by joining the KKCI AA, and we'll meet them where they are. You don't always have to jump in feet first. You can dip your toe in and slowly walk in if that's where you are and what you want to do. Money and finances in general is usually a sensitive topic for most people, me included. Most brothers I've met want to give back financially, but find it hard to do so at times. Again, myself included. So I would approach this with, again, a meeting them where they are approach. If they are someone who feels financially stable, then I would go over the wonderful programs, grants, scholarships, etc., and see which ones are of interest to them, one or ones, and explain how a monetary donation would help their interest and that they can choose where their money goes, part of their money goes, if they choose to donate. If they are someone whose finances are tight, I would explain the difference tiered membership options, such as the LAA tier, or encouraging them to consider joining the giving program. I would also speak about how any donation is welcome, big or small. I go back to advice that one of my chapter's founding fathers instilled in me, is that any fundraiser that you profit from, even if it's only a penny, that's still a penny more than what you had yesterday. Even more so, the culture of giving, for me, is more than just monetary. It can be your time and dedication that you're giving to the fraternity as well, and that's almost as important or even more important than a monetary donation. And at the end of the day, we want our members to donate, but we have to meet them where they are and show that regardless of what financial situation they are in, that the KKCIA welcomes them.
All right, my last question for you is about Dr. Rohr's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium, which is the AEA way. It has five main points of continuing the KKCI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to all of the work that we do. In total, this vision is really about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience So my question is, how would you help support his vision if you were elected as an AA director?
I will admit I have not had a chance to sit down and read his packet yet, but I've known Dr. Nick for a very long time. He was a district officer when I was an active, so I'm sorry in advance, Nick, if I made you feel old, if you're listening. But I do feel, from what you've mentioned and what you said in about his platform, that we do, I feel like our platforms kind of, I don't want to say mimic each other, but seem to have a lot of similarities. We want to bring the joy back into serving the bands and the college and universities and the alumni and the actives. And, you know, we want to, you know, I feel, you know, Nick is such a great person that it would be very, very easy to support him and his vision. And, you know, the AEA way is a great way of, you know, getting people involved and getting people excited, you know. And I think there's going to be a re-envisioning of, you know, this brotherhood with that, with the way his vision is lining up and lining up with, you know, the purposes and ideals of this fraternity. You know, I feel like he's gonna, you know, change it. And I love that, you know, he wants to, you know, extend that beyond the Road to Wisdom, which is a great, great program. I loved my time on the curriculum committee when I was on the curriculum committee for the 2021-2023 biennium, and we did a lot of good work. And I know that committee is continuing that valued and, you know, tireless work of that. And I love that because, you know, coming from someone who did not have the Road to Wisdom going through their process, it was, you know, the Road to Wisdom definitely, you know, hits on points and helps our membership candidates more, you know, see really the vision of, you know, and really instills in them, you know, why we are doing this, why we continue to serve. And I think, you know, being able to expand on that after the Road to Wisdom, it's almost like, you know, the Road to Wisdom and then, you know, alumni life. And I don't have a better phrase for that. You know, I don't have a road pun at the moment. And, you know, that your journey never ends. And I think that is a great thing to know and to be able to promote that, you know, going back to our last question, that no matter how little or how much you want to put into this, that your journey doesn't end, and that no matter, you're always striving for whatever it is, whether it's in your personal life, in your fraternal life, in your career, you know, and all those, for me personally, especially a lot of the things that I learned and continue to learn as a brother really do help my professional career. And, you know, his platform about the AEA way is, I think, a great thing for us to continue to move forward. And, you know, supporting him, I feel like, is going to be easy because from what you've described in the question and the platform, I think it's going to be very beneficial for us. And I think, you know, he, being a former Alumni Association Board of Director member, being a former chair of the board, is really, I think he's really gonna lean on us alumni to help. And, you know, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what he will do and how, and hopefully if I'm elected, that I can help him with his vision as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Laura, for answering all the questions that I had for you. If anyone wants to reach out to you or connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I am on social media. I am on Facebook. It's my name, Laura Borzolari. Profile picture is me and my family. Instagram, I also have that as well. Email, lborzolari@kksi.org is the best way to get a hold of me. Email wise, for fraternity, you know, fraternity questions and non-fraternity questions, and also have Snapchat, you know, if you want my phone number to call or text, that's fine too, you know, just message me and I'll be able to provide you that information. I'm really someone who loves to talk to any and all people. So I am excited for the rest of this election process and talking to our membership and, you know, answering their questions and seeing what they want to see from this next board of directors.
Awesome. Thank you again, Laura, for joining me on the podcast today. All right. And let's welcome Dr. Anthony Shelton from the Nu Kappa chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Tony, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. How y'all doing this evening? As she said, my name is Dr. Anthony Shelton, but everybody knows me as Tony. I have 25 years of military experience. I have a doctorate in music education. I did a double master's in instrumental conducting and music composition with a bachelor's in music composition as well. I run several nonprofit organizations within leadership positions, and I am considered a music portfolio entrepreneur business owner, which means that I operate and run various music businesses within the industry. I have a wife and two children, and that's pretty much it as far as my personal background.
Awesome. And can you take a few minutes to share a little bit about your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
My platform is to bring in the new and bring back the old. What we're noticing is we need to build a bridge between the young alumni and the more advanced in age brothers within the organization. In some ways that I want to do that is by creating new awards and building on the awards that we do have. Some that create more awards for younger brothers, as well as advanced age brothers, and even offering some posthumous recognition as well to brothers, band directors and such that have paved the way and were trailblazers in the band industry. So those are some of the things that I want to do as far as awards are concerned. I want to create more grant opportunities, and one that I'm really focused on at this particular point in developing would be a long-term emergency fund. I think as an organization and as a fraternity, we're always looking out and trying to take care of our brothers. We are our brothers' keepers. And considering all of the natural disasters that have been occurring across the country and actually worldwide, from the fires to the hurricanes and things of that nature, if we had some type of a grant emergency fund for brothers that they could apply for, that may help them recover from, those tragedies that they may incur, even if it's something as simple as replacing a grant to get clothes or a grant to get toiletries, food, anything, or hotel stays, things of that nature. But this is a long-term project. It was introduced a few years ago by another brother by the name of Fred Bowers, but it didn't really gain the traction. But I think it's something that we really should look into to take care of our brothers across the country and soon to be internationally as well. As I said, I want to create more grant opportunities as well in different fields, in different categories to make sure that all of our brothers are taken care of. And I also want to work with the other board members to streamline the processes for better efficiency and communication to achieve these particular goals. Because if we can get these goals going by honoring posthumously the trailblazers, the advanced age brothers, as well as building an excitement in the younger brothers, that is going to be our core areas to support the fraternity. And by doing those things, we have the opportunity to increase membership as well as improve the finances.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So are there, you mentioned a little bit about some of your goals. So what specific director roles are you interested in serving? And do the offices of chair or vice chair of the AABOD interest you?
I'm willing to serve wherever I need to. Because with my platform, the projects can affect every other position within the board itself. Even though these are geared more towards awards and activities, something that I've done for the past 3 years, because I actually wrote the jazz composition competition proposal and the plan that's being implemented this year. I think anywhere on within the committee, I can be an asset. Some of my accomplishments from the fraternal level, I was a charter member. I was a charter president and a returning president for the New Kappa chapter. I've served as a curriculum advisor when they first had that initiative. And I was also an Alpha Cohort lead advisor for Eta Iota at Bethune-Cookman University. I've served on several CETA committees as well as becoming chair. And while I was chair, we created a graduation ceremony for graduating seniors, as well as an awards program. And we also revamped our bylaws and revamped our website. Because before that time, we didn't have bylaws. We did have our constitution, but we didn't have that cushion that goes on under it to support and go into detail on everything that we need to be successful as an organization. So those are some of the things that I created there. As I mentioned, vice chair of the jazz composition competition. I also served as an interim chair of the Awards and Activities Committee when our chair was on maternity leave. I've served on and currently still serving on the Professional Development Committee and Programs Committees, as well as the Expansion Committee. So I kind of have my hand in a little bit of everything. So it's any place that I'm needed, I'm willing to go and willing to serve and put the work in.
Wonderful. You mentioned some of your goals. So I'm curious, if you had to choose one of your goals to make a priority as a director, how would you maybe track or measure the success of that goal?
Everything comes down to planning. And you have to have your short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals. Currently, when I'm talking about the long-term emergency fund, and in order to build the funds, I'm already looking at least three bienniums to actually get it where it needs to be, where all of the brothers throughout the fraternity can be taken care of. So it's more about the planning. It's the same thing that I did with the jazz composition competition. It took us through getting the proposal together and doing all the planning. It took 3 years, almost 3.5 years now, to actually get it to where it needed to be and to be a functioning entity within the organization. So setting those monthly goals, setting those quarterly goals, setting those biannual and annual goals are critical from a logistical and a strategic standpoint to get any new project off the ground.
Great, thank you. Can you tell us about you mentioned a lot of amazing things that you've done, but can you specifically choose one and tell us it was a successful program or initiative that you led, either fraternity related or within your professional career, and how you determined its effectiveness?
I would say from the fraternal position, it would have to be the jazz composition competition, because a lot of people are not aware that this initiative was first thought of back in 1988 or 89, I believe, by a few brothers. One of those brothers who actually serves on the committee with me by the name of Sam Dinkins has been pushing this initiative since the late 80s. It wasn't until the past couple of bienniums when Dominic Alati stepped, was the Awards and Activities Director, that we actually started putting boots to the ground and trying to get this initiative off the ground. There's a lot of, you know, going back and forth, working with the AABOD, working with National Council, working with Board of Trustees, doing lots of revisions, things of that nature. But we finally got another aspect of band-related music introduced to the fraternity. And it's something that a lot of brothers have been wanting to do for a few decades now. So I think that is one of my most prized accomplishments, is getting this JCC off the ground for the Actives alumni and everybody else that is a brother. And hopefully within the next couple of years, we can bring our sisters in TBS into the fold as well, if they want to join in on the program and move the initiative forward. In my personal life, I started a nonprofit organization called The Village arts advocacy, and it's a nonprofit organization geared to underserved communities and low-income children, where we provide instruments for them. During the summer, we have summer music camps and band camps for them at no charge, with a partnership with Georgia Southern University and the music department there. So we try to keep them off the streets, try to keep them off out of trouble during the summer, as well as preparing them for when they get ready to go to their respective schools, whether it be middle school or high school music programs.
That's amazing, really. My next question for you is, imagine that you're talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged with the fraternity in any way at this time. What would you suggest to them is the best reason to join the Alumni Association? How would you maybe articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially?
Oh, for me, the service never stops. It was part of our third degree ritual. Everything that we went through throughout our processes, it always continues to strive for the highest and to continue to serve. As an alumnus, this is when the real work begins. What we thought we, you know, was kind of taxing when we were in college is nothing compared to how we can contribute as alumnus to the organization, because we took that vow, we took that oath to serve and to continue to serve the fraternity, bands, as well as our universities and colleges. So with that being said, I feel like it's something that we should have the integrity and hold ourselves accountable to continue giving back to the fraternity. Now, the perks of being a part of the fraternity is the network of opportunities and the possibilities of guiding and mentoring the future generations that are going to be in charge of Kappa Kappa Psi, because we put a lot of effort into being a part of this organization and we want to see it flourish. Like I said, you know, it's networking possibilities in a vast array of careers throughout this country, where you have the opportunity to meet somebody that's in your field. And if you need to mentor them or be mentored by somebody, it's room for professional improvement and professional advancement while still giving back to our organization.
Wonderful. And I've got one last question for you, Tony. This question is about Dr. Rohr's vision for the upcoming biennium, which is the AEA way. It has five main points of continuing the KKSI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to the work that we do. In total, this vision is about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. So my question is, how would you help to support Dr. Rohr's vision as an Alumni Association director?
In any way possible. The biggest thing, I think, is that one key word that we talk about, and it's the brand. Developing the brand is an important thing. And as a representative and a director for the Alumni Association, it's my responsibility to make sure that we have that exposure in a positive light throughout the country to get that recognition out in the communities as well. Whether that be service to the communities or offering programs within the fraternity, and through that service within the community, hopefully sparking interest in the people that we serve that want to go to collegiate band programs and join our organization. So the branding, the exposure, creating more opportunities for brothers to be involved and have an active presence within the communities, as well as the colleges and universities, should be the ultimate goal of bringing everything together. Because when we're in a good membership position and when we're in a good financial position, then everybody's happy. When we're not in the best position membership-wise or financially, then it's always a stressful situation on how we are going to survive, how are we going to bring the organization up to the next level, because our main goal is to continue to strive for the highest. So with Dr. Rohr's vision, I thoroughly support it, and if it comes down to branding, things of that nature, whatever needs to be done for the with through the Alumni Association as in a partnership and a brotherhood with the active side, I think it's one of my responsibilities to do and serve as he needs me to, as I've done in the past, because he was the one that appointed me to be the lead advisor for the Alpha cohort for AIDA at Bethune-Cookman.
Great. Thank you so much for answering all the questions I had for you today. If anyone would like to reach out to you or connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on social media. My email is anthonyshelton@kkside.org. My telephone number is 706-829-8789. And to wrap it up, to give you the last bit about me as far as my values and my traits, I lead with integrity, transparency, accountability, and honesty. I'm a dedicated brother. I'm dependable. I have a tenacity, and I'm passionate about what I do. And when you combine that passion with 25 years in the military, it comes off sometimes as being, as we used to call it, gung-ho and overly excited. But that's the way that we get things done. So those are some of the things that I lead with: integrity, transparency, accountability, and honesty. Because if we don't have those things within the organization, then we don't have trust. And if we don't have trust, it's hard for us to have a brotherhood.
Awesome. Thank you again, Tony, for connecting with me today. And I really, really appreciate getting to ask you some questions and take a little bit of time to talk to you. Alrighty, let's welcome our next candidate, Victor Whitney, from the Iota Gamma chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Victor, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, brothers. I'm Victor Whitney. I live in the greater Seattle area. I am the spring of 13 class at Iota Gamma, Washington State University. I'm currently life member of Kappa Kappa Psi as well. My time at Washington State University, I studied criminal justice. Didn't exactly go down that path. I ended up elsewhere, currently own my own business here in this area, doing floor and upholstery cleaning. Outside of that, still trying to stay involved with music. I'm currently playing in the Seattle Rains pep band, the Rain City Riot, on my electric bass. And otherwise, staying really involved, going to a lot of live music and sporting events. So it's me in a small nutshell right there.
Wonderful. And can you take a few minutes to share a little bit about your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
Yeah, of course. So my platform is focused around director of finance. That being said, I am open to any position that the board or brothers see fit for me to serve in. For the director of finance, I broke my platform down into four main areas. Those areas being increased fundraising efforts, increased giving program participation, increased life memberships, and increased grants. To dive a little bit deeper into that, so starting off with increasing fundraising efforts, my first focus is going to be continuing efforts of the Revenue and Finance Committee and programs that they're looking to establish and looking into doing in the future. So some of those things would be like launching subscription-based merchandise, creating additional merchandise overall for the active and alumni brothers. But what I want to do there is just continue to push forward with that. So having this merchandise available for brothers to purchase at conventions, online, that they're able to have sent to them, their home. We're looking at doing events for select dates, such as like, say, Bo's birthday, Founders Day, and Giving Tuesday. Doing events focused around that. That's going to help us increase our fundraising. So along with that merchandise, I want to have some that are specific for our different causes within the fraternity, such as the National Intercollegiate Band and Intercollegiate Jazz Band. Having special merchandise on that will go and support those programs in different ways. Another big focus on why we want to increase fundraising efforts is that at the 2027 National Convention, we're going to be celebrating our 20th anniversary of the Alumni Association. So collaborating with the rest of the Alumni Association Board of Directors, we can ensure that we can celebrate properly for that big milestone for the Alumni Association. The next big portion of my platform is talking about increasing the giving program. This works directly in hand with fundraising efforts. Overall, very simply, we want to increase the number of individuals that are participating in this program, whether that is a small donation, large donation, anything that brothers are able to give on a monthly basis. To help do that, we want to continue doing some of those current efforts that the Revenue and Finance Committee are currently working on, such as the town hall meetings and providing letters of recognition. But we want to look at additional ways that we can continue to improve this, such as other ways to recognize these individuals, whether that be for those that are giving a certain amount of consecutive months, the total amounts that they have donated, the total amount of life memberships that they have earned to donate out. And, you know, another great way is providing raffles at conventions, you know, national district conventions, to give that incentive throughout the year to participate in the giving program. Next, we have increasing life memberships. Overall, once again, we just want to increase that number of brothers that are life members. It's additional promotions and incentives throughout the year. We would be looking at potentially providing incentives such as discounts on registration fees, discounts on merchandise, having limited edition merchandise that those life members would be able to purchase, providing private events for them, providing exclusive social platforms for those brothers to connect with each other. Basically, we want to give back more with that life membership and provide them a reason to go out and get that and support the fraternity. So to continue increasing those life memberships, I want to collaborate with programs and professional development, looking at hosting life member only events at the conventions, you know, given that opportunity there to get that limited merchandise, and just continue working with the rest of the board of directors to discover additional ways that we can provide more benefits to our life members. The last big area of my platform revolves around increasing grants. So all of these programs kind of go hand in hand. If we are increasing our memberships, increasing our giving program, increasing our fundraising, this is where we're going to be able to increase our grants. You know, overall, I want to look into increasing the total number that the Alumni Association is able to provide to our members. The eventual goal overall is going to be providing financial support to all members of the National Intercollegiate Band through the Max Mitchell Grant. And with that, there is a new grant that I would like to create for the Intercollegiate Jazz Band that mirrors exactly what the Max Mitchell is doing. It assists all of our participants financially. Lastly, I want to build off what we are currently doing with the Professional Development Grant, a fantastic program that is providing brothers with resources that they may not be able to get otherwise. I want to turn this program into more of a multifaceted program. I want to be able to cover Alumni Association members that are not only students or music professionals, but also looking at the non-music professionals and small business owners. Currently, with how this program is implemented, is everybody is on a same playing field, essentially. With that, we might have students that are looking for textbooks that they need covered. On the flip side, we might have a business owner that is struggling financially and needs to attend professional development courses or trainings in order to further promote their business. So with this upgraded grant program, I want to be able to split all these areas into separate cohorts. But with this updated grant program, essentially we'll be able to choose recipients from each of those demographics that I've mentioned, create some greater equity between those so that we don't have a student that might need textbooks applying for this development grant against a teacher in a non-music career looking for supplies for their classroom. You know, things that this grant could cover could be anywhere from tuition to books to instruments to sheet music, classroom supplies, professional development, professional training, licensing, or just general equipment.
Awesome. So you mentioned kind of what director role you're most interested in serving, but do the offices of chair or vice chair interest you at all?
Yeah, I would be open to either of those positions. As I kind of stated earlier, I am open to serving in any capacity that the board of directors sees that I am fit for. This packet was specifically written for director of finance, as I believe that that is my strongest area and where I could best serve our brothers.
Awesome. And you talked a lot about some of your goals that you had. So if you had to pick one to maybe prioritize, how would you measure or track the success of that goal?
Yeah, I believe that the goal that I would focus on is increasing our fundraising efforts. And that's due to how interconnected all of these goals are. If we are increasing our fundraising efforts, then we are looking at furthering our memberships, increasing our grants, having more members part of the giving program. To track the actual success of this, it's a numbers game. So we're going to have the actual numbers. We'll be able to review what we have done in past years and directly compare it to what we are doing to current day. So it will be a fairly easy goal to track. But to make sure that it's successful, there's going to need to be discussions on how much are we looking to increase? Are we putting a specific percentage on it? Are we adding, are we looking at the number of brothers that are participating in this fundraising as a success? These are conversations that need to happen with both the Revenue and Finance Committee as well as the rest of the Board of Directors. But when we establish what our overall goal will be of what numbers that we're looking to hit, with this position, the finance director, it's going to be very easy to directly compare these numbers to see if we are moving in the right direction or not.
Awesome. Thank you. My next question for you is, can you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led, either fraternity related or within your professional career, and how you determined its effectiveness?
Okay. While I was an undergraduate at Washington State University, I was selected as a student ambassador for the College of Arts and Sciences. With that position, we did a lot of liaison work between students and upper management, staffing, the dean's office. We worked on recruitment and retention. During that position, we noticed that our students had some issues with actually getting out and marketing themselves, going to career fairs and actually being able to articulate their skills, their abilities, the classes that they're taking, and how this would correlate to a future career. So every year at Washington State University, we would host a career fair where hundreds of businesses would line up to speak to prospective students that are looking to get into those different career fields. We noticed that a lot of students were having issues with this, and I created a mock career fair. So this event would be hosted prior to the actual career fair, and would give students an opportunity to hone in a lot of skills and learn about how they need to market themselves. We hosted various workshops. We partnered with businesses, local businesses at Washington State University, and provided them with resources that they could use to essentially market themselves to employers. After wrapping up our mock career fair for the first time and waiting until after the actual career fair that was hosted, we circled back and we spoke to a lot of students and businesses that we partnered with and had fantastic feedback. A lot of the students telling us that they've gone to these career fairs in the past, didn't know really how to speak to an employer, coming back telling us that they were able to crush their interview, that they felt extremely comfortable talking to these employers, and the employers telling us that it seemed like our students were much more prepared to actually speak to them on that day. Because of all this fantastic feedback that we receive from the students and the employers, this is an event that is still going to this current day every year at Washington State University, providing our students with programs to help them better prepare themselves to stand in front of a future employer.
Awesome. All right. My next question is a little bit of a scenario question. Imagine you are talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged with the fraternity in any way at this time. What would you suggest to them is the best reason to join the Alumni Association? How would you articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially?
Well, first off, if we had an alumni brother that was not engaged, I think the very first thing that we need to do is just have a one-on-one conversation and see why is that? Is it because the brother has lost interest in Kappa Kappa Psi altogether? Is the brother under the impression that he was only a brother during his undergraduate career and that there is nothing else that's being offered to them? Or maybe one of many other reasons. So after finding out why is it that this brother's not involved with it, it's expressing what they can be doing and seeing what their current lifestyle is and how we can be involved with that again. It's finding out why did they want to join Kappa Kappa Psi in the first place and showing them that that opportunity is probably still here for them, whether that's getting involved with their local alumni associations, whether they enjoyed the conventions that they went to during their active years, and showing them there's still opportunities to continue doing that, and just showing them that there's still options and programs for them to be involved with after college. You know, the brother that is not involved just might not be aware of benefits that they could receive. And by having that conversation with them, telling them about my experience with Kappa Kappa Psi as an alumni might really resonate with that individual that isn't involved. You know, telling them about my experiences of meeting new brothers from around the country, traveling to new places, to see brothers from all different walks of life, it's a fantastic thing. So with talking to this brother that is not involved, I would articulate about how everything that we got to experience during our active years was only there because of our alumni and our alumni base. For our alumni that have been giving back for years, continuing the brotherhood, and explaining how it's our responsibility to continue growing Kappa Kappa Psi. It's giving the opportunity for new brothers to be a part of this that may not have been able to do otherwise unless we're there supporting our fraternity financially.
All right, last question for you. This question is a little bit of a big question. So it's about Dr. Rohrer's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium, which is the AEA way. It has five main points, which are continuing the KKSI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to the work that we do. So in total, Dr. Rohrer's vision is really about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. So my question is, how would you help to support Dr. Rohrer's vision as an alumni association director?
Well, to start, I think Dr. Rohrer's vision is fantastic, embodying everything that Kappa Kappa Psi needs. This position as director of finance can go hand in hand in exactly promoting that exact vision. First off, you know, there's the obvious sit downs that need to happen between the board of directors and the national council to really make sure that we're on the same page and that we're all moving forward in the same direction. We're looking at strengthening the brotherhood overall. That it comes down to financials in a lot of things. By improving our fundraising efforts, by having more brothers participating in the giving program, by establishing additional grants. We're doing exactly that. We're going to strengthen the brotherhood. This is all going to help us move forward. You know, through successfully implementing these various ideas that I brought on my platform, we're looking to move forward with the brotherhood. Having a strong financial base is going to allow brothers to have that journey that we're talking about. By being able to participate in the various programs, by establishing new programs that our other board of directors are looking to establish in the coming biennium. When we have a strong sense of financial base, we have less worries and we're moving forward with doing the things that we love to do. That is bringing that sense of joy that Dr. Rohr wants to have in this next biennium.
Awesome. All right, Victor, that is all the questions that I had for you today, and I really appreciate you taking some time to answer them for me. If anyone wants to reach out to you or connect with you, where can they find you?
Of course, I'm open anytime for brothers to reach out, whether you have questions regarding my platform, anything that we just spoke about in this interview, or if you guys just want to connect with me. Best way to reach me would probably be by phone or email. Phone 206-920-9217. You can reach me by email at vwhitney50@gmail.com. That's vwhitney50@gmail.com. Otherwise, that same vwhitney50 tag is usually most of my socials. So if you wanted to reach out via, say, Instagram, Facebook, or wherever else, that's going to be an easy way to find me.
Awesome. And do you have any final thoughts or comments for our listeners today?
Yeah, so all of these ideas that I put forth on my platform, I believe are advantageous for the Alumni Association to continue moving forward over its previous decade plus of success. My previous experience, you know, working as a small business owner, currently being on the Revenue and Finance Committee, my experience and skills, I believe that I would be a fantastic addition to this Alumni Association Board of Directors. And as mentioned previously, I'm here to serve for you guys. So whatever you guys see me in whatever capacity, I'm happy to do what I can to serve the Brotherhood.
Awesome. Thank you again for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. This concludes the final episode of our 2025 AABOD candidate interviews. If you have any questions about the candidates or the election process, please visit the elections tab on our website at kksiaa.org. A big thank you to Victoria Wilkinson for editing all of our podcast episodes each week, ensuring our listeners enjoy insightful conversations with every candidate. As always, we'd like to extend a very special thanks to the National Alumni Association and Kappa Kappa Psi National Honorary Band Fraternity for making this podcast possible. We'd like to remind you that ballots will be sent out on May 1st, 2025 to all registered members of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. If you do not receive a ballot, please contact alumni@kksi.org as soon as possible. Best of luck to all of the candidates. Have a wonderful day, and as always, AEA.